الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها، قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الله سبحانه وتعالى bestowed every human being with three bounties. Number one is the heart of the person. Number two is the brain of a person. And number three is the nafs of the person. Heart is the source of feelings. Feelings of love and hatred, feeling of braveness or cowardice. All these feelings, they come from the heart. To believe in something or not to believe in something, it belongs to heart. Then brain is the source of thoughts. It's basically a thoughts processor. Like we have math coprocessor in the computer, that if there is a mathematical equation in the program, then it is directed towards the math coprocessor. It will solve the equation and then give the answer back to the system. Similarly, the brain of a person is thought processor. You give any thought to your brain, it will start processing it. It can be a good thought or it can be a bad thought, but it will process it. Then the nafs of the person is the source of wishes. The wishes can also be good or bad. For example, I should become muttaqi is a good wish. And people should feel I am great, it is a bad wish. So the nafs of a person is the source of wishes. Out of these three, the base is the heart. Because whatever are the emotions, they decide what is the personality of a person. If the emotions are good, it is a good personality. If the emotions are bad, it is a bad person. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, when they came in the world, they work on the hearts of the human beings. They change the hearts. Because once you change the heart and you get good feelings and good emotions, then everything changes. If some person has emotion in his heart that I want to become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whole schedule of his life will change. His thoughts will be changed. His wishes will be changed. His actions will be changed. Because he will be a changed personality. And if he feels, so if he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the setup of his life is different. Then he will try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will try to do everything which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will refrain from all those things with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased, is not pleased. So now the setup of his life has become different because he believes. If he believes in the day of judgment, then it is different. Then he will refrain from sins. He will understand that on the day of judgment, I will ask about my sins. And if I have committed these sins, I will be punished on the day of judgment. And if the same person, if he is unbeliever, he does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't believe in the day of judgment, then he will not be afraid of doing anything wrong. He can speak lie. And he will just feel, oh, I changed the statement. So light. So lie will just be a very light thing for him. He will make the promise, but if he feels that there is no benefit for him, he will try to back out by hook or by crook. How we can change our hearts and put a firm belief in that is a big question of the day. Every one of us wants to be a good person, but practically, very few of us succeed. In most of the actions of our life, we try to practice the Sunnah of Rasulullah. But in some, we don't do that. We try to do the things according to our own wishes. That's the problem. Islam requires total submission from a person. All the previous religions, they were named after the name of the tribe or name of the personality. For example, the Christians, they were named after the name of the Jesus Christ. Jews, they were named after the name of Judaism. Similarly, Buddhism, it was named after the name of Buddha. But Islam, it is not the name of some person or some place. It enjoys different meanings. Its means are peace, total submission. Someone asked from Rasulullah ﷺ that, who is Muslim? Then he replied that Al-Muslimu Man Salim Al-Muslimuna Min Lisanihi Wa Yadihi. That A Muslim is he by whose tongue and hands the other Muslims are secured, they are saved. Now look at this. Normally, we feel that with the hands, a person can do something bad to others more than the tongue. But it's not like that. In hadith, the tongue has been mentioned first. There are a few reasons. Number one, that whatever wound you give to someone with your hand, it can be healed. But what wound you give someone with your tongue can sometimes never be healed. Then with your hands, you can only give pain to the people who are present. Whereas with your tongue, you can give pain to the people who have already led their lives, to your predecessors, and also to the people who will come in the future. And those persons who are not present there, still with your tongue, you can give pain to those people. You can backbite. You can hurt them. With the hands, you can hurt those people who are in front of you. So because the pains by the tongue are much more than the pains of the hand, that's why it has been described first. Those relationships which cannot be cut with the help of knife and scissors, you can easily cut them with the help of your tongue. Just speak few words and two brothers, they will stop talking to each other. Two friends, they will become enemies. So slip of the tongue is the worst slip. So that's why it has been mentioned, مِن لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ. And if we feel, then we misuse our tongue today too much. For example, wherever we sit down, we start talking about the third person who is not present. No, to speak about the third person who is not present is called backbiting. And backbiting, as it is the word, to bite at the back. That the person is not present. And you are saying something which is unwanted, undesirable, which he does not like. Now, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they ask Rasulullah that if we speak truth, then Rasulullah replied that if you speak truth, then it is backbiting. And if you speak lie, then it is buhtan. It is even worse. So it means that backbiting is very bad. One of the hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w. goes like that, Al-ghibatu ashaddu min al-zina. That ghibat is even worse than the zina. So we should refrain from this. And ghibat is the right of the human beings. If someone has done, then even if he asks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this sin will not be forgiven until and unless he asks forgiveness from that person. Now the situation has become complicated. It's very easy to backbite someone but it's very difficult to ask forgiveness. Try to talk to someone, please forgive me, and then listen what he replies. Allah forgives the human beings, but the human beings, they don't forgive each other. So if some person has made backbiting, then on the day of judgment, the person about whom he talked, he will be given the authorization to take his good amal in return of that. Now on the day of judgment, when everyone will require good amal, and each single good amal will have its value, and the person will be given the choice, so what do you think? Will he be satisfied by small amount of good amal? When he is in dire need of good amal, he will not be satisfied with a small. He will try to have too much. You know, even in this world, if some person, he gets the chance to sue someone, then what the amount he claims in hundreds, in thousands, no, in millions. The amount what a common person even cannot pay, he cannot even think of it. So even we think about the matter of this world, that the person who is given the chance to ask something, he asks something which is very high, very difficult to pay. So then on the day of judgment, if this person will be given the authority to take his good amal, how much amount he will take? Few of them, hundreds of them, thousands of them, no. He will try to have all of them. And if there will be many, many people, and all of them, they will make a claim that he backbited. And the good amal of this person, they will be finished. Then what will happen? Then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do? He will take the bad amal of those people and put it on the head of this one. Now he is faqir. Rasulullah once asked the question that who is faqir? Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they replied that who has nothing. He is ghareeb. Rasulullah replied, no. Ghareeb is a person who brought so much good amal on the day of judgment. But then he backbited someone, he gave pain someone, he hurt someone, and those people, they will make claim. And the good amal of this person will be given to all of them, and still they will be there to make claims. So their bad amal will be taken and put on his shoulders. So he is a ghareeb who came with such good amal, but he lost everything, and at the end he had a heap of bad amal on his head. And this normally happens. We feel so relaxed to backbite someone. It's a really bad habit. So the only way we can save ourselves from this sin is not to speak about third person. Whenever we sit down with someone, try to speak about the issues which are common to each other. In which you don't have to describe about the third person. Try to avoid it. Don't try to give easy comments. Normally, we make loose talk about the third person. And that becomes backbiting. It's very common these days. So because this is a big sin, kabira guna, so we should try to save ourselves from people. What is the definition of ghibat? That you say something about some person which is true, but if you say the same thing in front of that person, then he will dislike it. So it is called ghibat. Actually, this is the personal law of Islam. Islam has provided security to every Muslim. So this is his self-respect. Islam doesn't allow that if two people, they sit down, they talk about the third person. No. Islam tells them it is personal law. Don't talk about the third one. If you talk about, you want to talk about something, talk about yourself. So it means that if I am sitting here and I find two people sitting in the corner and they are whispering with each other, talking to each other, I can't think in my mind they are making my ghibat, they are backbiting me. No. I feel rest assured. No. Whatever they are talking, it belongs to them, not to me. Subhanallah. What a beautiful idea. What is the beauty of the teachings. Sometimes we make ghibat of the jamaat. Collective ghibat. Fuqaha, they have described. For example, we make comments about the Muslims. We make comments about the Muslims of some area. We make comments about the Muslims of some masjid. It becomes even bigger sin. Allahu Akbar. So we are duty bound to see and analyze what we are speaking. We should have a control upon our speech. It's not like that we can speak everything. If it is like that, then every day the people will be fighting with each other. So the believer, the mu'min, has been advised to speak good things and to refrain from bad things. The tongue is the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should try to say good things. It's not for backbiting, it's for the recitation of Quran. It's for speaking truth. It's to invite others to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the proper use of our tongue. It has been written in the life biography of few elders that they used to speak so little that whatever they used to speak in the day, they used to write it. We spoke this. And in the night, they used to analyze it. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, it has been written in his life
history that he was such a big scholar, but he normally used to keep quiet. To have knowledge and then to keep quiet, it is very difficult. Nowadays, what happens? We listen something and we start speaking. And sometimes we speak without thinking. Just make comments. It's not allowed. So we should discipline ourselves in this respect, and we should try to avoid backbiting. Backbiting of the relatives can be done. For example, husband and wife, parents and children, brother and brother. There is only one condition in which it is allowed to describe the reality in front of someone. When you feel that if I will tell these things to this person, then he will be able to set the things right. If you see something bad and you talk about that person to someone, and this person has got such a position that he can correct that one, he can tell that person to be a good one. So with this intention, with the good intention, then you can speak to someone. Otherwise, we should make a habit not to speak about the third person, because that's always dangerous. Once a woman came to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was very short in her height, dwarf. So Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she spoke about that woman to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then she just made a sign that woman like this, short-heighted. Then Rasulullah told her that, Aisha, you uttered some words from your mouth. They are so bitter that if these words are put in the ocean, that the whole water of the ocean will become bitter. And what we do? To someone we say, oh, he is bad. آج کسی کو بیمان کہہ دینا, ذلیل کہہ دینا بڑا آسان ہے, اور کل قیامت کے دن اللہ کے حضور جواب دینا یہ بڑا مشکل کا. It will be difficult to answer on the day of judgment. Easily we can say ذلیل to someone, but on the day of judgment, if you will be asked to prove it, then what will happen? So there are two basic things. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you guarantee me that you do not commit sins with them, those organs of the body, I guarantee you a house in the paradise. مَا بَيْنَ لَحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ. Whatever is in your mouth is tongue, and about your private part. If you guarantee me that you will not misuse these two things, I guarantee that you will get a house in the paradise. How easy it is. But at the same time, how difficult it is. It means that mostly we either commit sins with our tongue or with our private parts. to have no control upon the glances, that is the sin which is connected with the sexual part of the person. So these two are very major sins. Uncontrolled tongue and uncontrolled sexual parts of the body. So we should try to work on these two things, and to control them means to justify that I want to have a house in the paradise. So these are two steps. People say that the paradise is two steps. Yes, these are two steps. First step, you control your tongue and your sexual parts, and then your next step is in the paradise. On one hand, it's very easy, but on the other hand, it's very difficult to achieve it. How we can achieve it? There we need a guide. We need counseling. Even in this world, in our life, when we are stuck up, we want to have counseling. When there are problems in our married life, we need counseling. When we have some problems in our business, we need advisors. So look at this. If we need advisor in this world for our business, for our personal affairs, why don't we need an advisor for in our religious, for our religion? So a sheikh is a religious advisor who advises a person how to lead a good life. And because he is an experienced person, he has already gone on this path and he knows what are the ins and outs of this path. So beforehand he tells the person, oh, you should take care of this and this and this and this. And if we follow him and follow his instructions, then we save ourselves from so many bad results. That is called to lead life under the supervision of some sheikh. Now, very simple example, that if you want to go to some destination, you have never gone, and you get directions from the internet, and you try to go, so it will take long time to go there. You will have to stay at different places and ask people, where I have to go? Should I go this way or that way? And if the person in the way, he is going to misguide you, then you are in trouble. Maybe you have to take the right turn and he tells you to take left turn. You have to go in the north direction, you will be going in the south direction. You will not be able to reach your destination. That is the condition of a person who leads his life on his own. Although he wants to lead his life according to the teachings of Quran and Hadith, but still he has no guide. And if he wants to go, then shaitan is a person in the way who is going to misguide him. He has to take right turn. Shaitan will tell him to take the left turn. He has to go to the west direction, for example. Then shaitan will tell him to go to the east direction. The other situation is that you want to go to the house of some person, and the person is with you, or his friend is with you, who knows where is the house. He sits on the first, on the front seat of the car, and he tells you, okay, you start your car, and then let's go. Now take left turn, take right turn, go straight, now stop here, now do this and do this. Now you are relaxed. You will be driving, and in the shortest possible time, he will tell you, we have reached our destination. What a big difference in these two conditions. Same is the difference in which we have a sheikh in our life or we don't have a sheikh in our life. He is the person who knows the path and who can take us easily to our destination. And then he will tell you beforehand, oh, you are going on high speed, please reduce your speed, the road is bumpy. There is speed breaker. The road is slippery. So we can save ourselves from the accidents. So it means that every one of us needs a guide in our life. A real guide is he who has gone all the road which you want to go. If you look at the life of our ancestors, then all of them, they used to spend their lifetime under the instructions of their teachers, their mashayikh. Even Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, his teacher was Ali Madini rahmatullah. He mentioned that the best wish of my life is that I should have ample time which I can spend in the company of Ali Madini rahmatullah. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah, Allah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to lead a successful life and save ourselves from the bad amal. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا ولم يغفر لنا ولم تغفر لنا اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى صلى الله تعالى على حبيبه سيدنا محمد أجمعين برحمته